Howdy, folks. Doug McBurney here. The Bob Enyart Live Telethon is on again. We need $30,000 to keep Bob Enyart broadcasting for another year, so I'm asking you to help us. Go to the kgov.com website, click on the store, look at the subscriptions, take a look at all the wonderful products, or give us a call right now at 800-8-ENYART. That's 800-836-9278. Look at the subscriptions, take a look at all the wonderful products. Sign up for a subscription to Bob's Bible Study, the sermons from Denver Bible Church, or the Best of Bob, and get a free video as our gift to you. Donate $100 or more, get a free video. Our gift to you for helping Bob Enyart stay on the air for another year. We picked the shortest month of the year, February, so we're already running out of time. So pick up the phone now. Call 800-836-9278 or go to kgov.com to make a donation, purchase a product, or sign up for a subscription today.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart.
And I'm Fred Williams, creation speaker and software engineer.
This series, Fred, is the most rewarding for me that we've done in a while because all the effort to assemble all this evidence for the Creator God and against atheism and evolution and the Big Bang, it's now right there, is easy to see Real Science Radio's list of list shows.
The list of list shows. So through the years, we've done these shows on lists, such as the list of not so old things. I think that kicked it off for us.
Yep.
What a great show that has always been. Yeah. And now we've got all kinds of lists. We've got ideas for more list shows, and it's a lot of fun. It's shooting fish in a barrel.
Yeah, it really is enjoyable. So last week, we began describing each of the list shows briefly, and if we could continue, hopefully we'll get through the end of the list.
Yeah, okay. Well, the next one here is RSR's list of solar system formation problems.
Wow, because, you know, NASA et al., they've figured out how the solar system formed, right?
Yeah, sure
they have a great theory,
yeah.
Nebular hypothesis theory. And I like your laugh, Fred, because NASA's planet guy, who we have quoted on that list show, Caltech astronomer Mike Brown, he said, you know, before we had much data, we had the most wonderful theory of planetary formation. It was a really beautiful theory, I'm quoting, but it was clearly and thoroughly wrong.
Clearly and thoroughly wrong.
They
That's
have
right.
so many problems taking the laws of physics and just explaining how asteroids and rocky planets would form, like Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars. Just that. Then they have the thousands of exoplanets that are being discovered, mm-hmm. and everything contradicts everything. Now they got the TNOs with one orbiting backward. It's all a mess.
Yeah, this theory, a really low-grade hypothesis, just like horse evolution, it only existed in the textbooks as pictures.
Yes.
And just so stories.
Yes.
The science,
and the more data that
it.
Comes in, the creationists love the data, because it slays the secular origins theories.
Yeah, because we only have, what, one or two items on that list?
On these solar system formation problems?
Or do we actually add to that list almost every day, it seems like?
Oh, it keeps growing. And we do go back to these lists, and we let them grow and grow. And that's so exciting.
Oh, yeah. And I have to say, I have to give you credit for how you update these lists. It's a great resource. When I've given my talks, I can go to these and I'm like, wow, look at this new item on this list. They're really thorough. They're real precise, real easy to use. You provide the references, but it's real easy to understand.
Fred, one guy on our YouTube channel, Real Science Radio, we have our own playlist on the Bob Enyart Live YouTube channel. And by the way, we're approaching 250,000 views. So I'm excited about that. That's a little milestone we should hit this spring. But one guy, I think his name is Old Shocker or something like that, and he posted, you know, making fun of us who believe in God and that God is our creator, and he used whale evolution as an example. of how confident they are in the FOSSA record, and we have our list of whale evolution problems. So I just took like the first 8 bullets out of 40,
yeah,
and I just pasted them in a reply. And when you read them, you recognize, even if you're an evolutionist, that they are devastating.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so, like, hey, and by the way, would you like to get 8 more tomorrow and maybe 8 more yeah, the next
right,
day?
Right, right.
So speaking of this guy called Shocker, maybe he'd like this next one, and maybe it's probably appropriate for him.
Oh.
The list of papers that shock potheads.
Now, that's quite a claim, except for Fred. I guess today it's a compliment for somebody to say they smoke marijuana.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
They think, you know.
They're cool.
You know, Lawrence Krauss, I just wonder how much he smokes.
Yeah.
Down at ASU.
Yep.
But we have these peer-reviewed papers that we've been going through of the astounding research done into the effects of marijuana. And a lot of these are on universities where they're so pro-marijuana. So their conclusions, which are horrifying, are all contrary to interest. Because CU up in Boulder, it's not like that's an anti-pot school.
Mm-hmm.
It's wildly pro-pot.
Yeah.
And the PhD professors there who do the research, they speak openly about how horrifying the substance is. Here's the latest study we added to our list of papers that shock potheads. In the U.S., 1,000 pot smokers were studied for a paper in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease.
Hmm.
All 1,000. How many studies are there where everyone in this group suffers from this problem? There's almost none. They get 1,000 pot smokers. They all had low blood flow throughout the brain. And tragically, the most restricted blood flow was in the brain's memory and dementia region.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's the latest study.
And I would encourage people who are listening, we all have friends and maybe even family that smoke pot.
Yeah.
They really need to see this list. It's very compelling. You could just memorize a few of them, but you know, you could point them to the website, and again, it's very concise lists and it's compelling. It's eye-opening.
We do have a lot of funny graphics on that page too. And it's rsr.org/pot. We made it easy for the potheads to remember.
rsr.org/pot. And that's spelled P-O-T.
Yeah. And like the t-shirt here, you are so dumb. You are really dumb for real. For reals.
Yep.
And stay off the grass and all that stuff.
Okay, so the next one is one of our favorites. The list of carbon-14 everywhere it shouldn't be. It's a very powerful argument. It's one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. And we haven't really talked about this in quite a while. But carbon-14 has a very short half-life, which means that in 50,000 years or so, you should have a very hard time finding any in a specimen. 100,000 years, you're not going to find an atom of it in a dinosaur bone. Not an atom if the dinosaur bone is over 100,000 years old, but that's not what they find.
Yeah, they find carbon-14. They shouldn't, because carbon-14 is radioactive, and it has a relatively short half-life of like 5,700 years. Mm-hmm. So after 5,700 years, it should be half turned into nitrogen. And so there's a clock that's running there, and really after 30 to 40,000 years is really where
it's about it.
You can't really detect
especially
it.
Especially in a small specimen.
Yeah.
When you have natural gas, it should have none. Limestone, fossil wood, coal, oil, graphite, marble, dinosaur bones, diamonds. There should be no carbon-14.
Diamonds, really hard substance, and yet we find carbon-14 in it. They pull these diamonds from deep beneath the Earth's surface, and you know they're very careful about contamination, and they still have carbon-14 in them.
Yeah, so the title of this show is List of Carbon-14 Everywhere It Shouldn't Be.
Yeah, which
it's
is
everywhere, and it's there in predictable quantities. 10 dinosaurs from around the world, and the labs that do the testing, these are mainstream, prestigious scientific laboratories, high tech, using AMS technology, and the carbon-14 is everywhere it's not supposed to be.
It's as if something buried a lot of carbon sometime in the past.
Yeah, it sure seems that way, right? And so, Fred, they need to go to secondary explanations or assumptions or rescue devices and tertiary and so on. But the evidence is that diamonds are young, because if they were 1 billion years old, they would have lost all their carbon-14 and they're really hard, so you're not going to get contamination into the middle of a diamond.
Yeah, as one creationist said, diamonds are creationists' best friend because of this argument.
I love it.
So the next one is, of course, perhaps our favorite, or right near the top. It's the discovery of the century that so many people don't know about. And it's the list of dinosaur soft tissue discoveries.
Yes.
I mean, I still talk to people today about dinosaur soft tissue, and they're like, huh, that's not true. And then you show it to them, and yeah, they're like,
and they're stunned.
They are stunned.
Their jaw drops yeah open. They're banging their heads against the wall. Fred, and it continues. What I love about this list show that we did, where we go through, and even this year, yet again, another discovery. This is still early 2017. Another dinosaur soft tissue discovery is at the bottom of the page in the supplemental material.
Boy, Bob, it took you a long time to page. You're still paging down.
Yeah.
I'm watching him page down that page right now.
Oh,
he's still going.
Yeah, it's dinosaur by dinosaur by dinosaur of all the dinosaur soft tissue discoveries. And then we have a link to a shared Google spreadsheet that we've created with the help of Brian Taylor at ICR, mm-hmm, Institute for Creation Research. And here are not only the dinosaur soft tissue discoveries, but all the soft tissue fossil discoveries where they're tens of millions of years old.
Yeah, so not just dinosaurs, but other creatures in the fossil record that have soft tissue. They're not fully fossilized.
And so some pop out at you like 350 million year old crinoids that have still original biological material that has not decomposed.
It's
350.
350 million years. I think because it's just a number, people don't realize how long a time that is.
Yeah.
You know, because I personally, I think the Earth is really old. I mean, 6,000 years, that's old. I mean, that's major Codger status.
Yeah,
you know, these numbers are so big, I think people just gloss over it. But 350 million years, and this thing hasn't fully decayed?
In fact, let me give you two other examples, and let's combine this with our list of fresh fossils show that we did, because the list of dinosaur soft tissue discoveries, it's only dinosaurs. But as I said, at the bottom of that page, you click over to the supplemental material, and then we did a separate show on this, Real Science Radio's list of fresh fossils, and we're not making this up. These are from the world's leading scientific journals, like we just mentioned one from the journal Geology. I'll mention another from the journal Nature. This is from Bio1. 530 million year old, allegedly, Precambrian. We're talking Precambrian. Mm-hmm. Metazoans, original biological material. Come on, this stuff is not eternal. And then from the journal Nature, 1.88 billion year old. Billion.
1.8 billion.
1.8.
And you're sure that's not the National Enquirer, InfoWars?
1.8 billion year old protein material in chert.
Wow.
And so this is so fun because the Earth is young, and just like when you look at Egyptian mummies, and you see, well, they're thousands of years old, but they do have a slight residue of original biological material in them.
Mm-hmm.
So it could last a few thousand years, but obviously every year there's less and less. So that's like 4,000 years, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years. It's not 1.8 billion years.
Yeah, yep.
It's absurd.
List of evidence for Exodus. I can't wait till we get to that one. We haven't done that one yet.
Oh, yeah.
Just thinking of mummies.
Yeah, that's coming right up, Fred.
It is.
It's a new list show we'll be recording.
Yeah, we're going to do soon.
Lord willing.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
So the next one is going to be one of your favorites. I love it, too. And in fact, we have news on this just recently, and that's the list of answers to the hydroplate objections.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Walt Brown has a theory on the global flood called the hydroplate theory, that the water for the flood was under the crust of the earth when God made the earth.
Yeah, the fountains of the great deep.
Yeah, it's the fountains of the great deep model. And at the start of the flood, the crust cracked open from pressure beneath, and that water came up, flooded the earth. That's the model. Well, if that happened, then in the Pacific, there should be crust, continental crust, that's sunken into the Pacific.
That's sunk into the Pacific.
Yes. And some of the objections against Walt Brown's model is that there's no evidence that continental crust sunk into the Pacific.
Yeah, I think one of them was Dr. Baumgartner, right?
Yeah.
John Baumgartner.
That's right.
And he's a foremost expert in plate tectonics.
Yeah, geophysicist. Well, it turns out we did a show of the seven in the continuing series so far on answers to hydroplate theory objections. The sixth show was on the Pacific crust objection. Where did the crust go?
And that show was a few months ago, right?
Yeah, that was just at the beginning of this year, first show of 2017. So just out this past week, a new study in a journal of the Geological Society of America, Fred, they found what they're calling a mini continent, a new continent, almost 5 million square kilometers in size, sunken in the Southwest Pacific Ocean. It's called Zealandia, and they say it's made up of continental crust. And this adds to all the examples we already put in that show where scientific paper after paper after paper, they said we found sunken crust here in the Northwest Pacific. We found it here in the Indian Ocean. We found it here. We found it here. And now here it is in Zealandia.
Yeah, and again, secular scientists doing the work of Walt Brown for him.
Whoa, because all scientists work for Dr. Walt Brown.
That's right, that's right. And our producer mentioned the origin of New Zealand. That was interesting,
huh? Yeah, right, New Zealand. So
yeah.
Sealand, a province in the Netherlands, because it's under the sea practically.
Yep, under the sea.
And what an irony that here they find this sunken continent, and they call it Zealandia.
Zealandia.
Yeah,
huh.
I love it.
Little twist on words. Mm. You know, coming into the studio, Bob, I made a little joke about we should do a show on homosexuals and call it our Lisp show.
our Lisp show.
And you actually had some recent news that pertains to that, because you contacted that Milo guy
Milo,
a few weeks ago.
Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yeah, from Breitbart.
Who is a homosexual. He is very destructive to the conservative movement, whatever that is anymore, certainly to the body of Christ, to fundamental morality. He is not a help to the effort to save the world, to save people's souls. He is the enemy.
Yes.
He doesn't have to remain the enemy. He could turn to Jesus Christ, but he is the enemy. Anyway, he's in huge trouble right now because statements he made that were supportive of older homosexuals having relationships with younger boys. Young boys who don't want to talk to their parents, and the older homosexuals are helping them with their life of homosexuality. It was just disgusting.
Oh, yes.
And now he's hiding behind age of consent laws in Northern Europe.
Yeah, it was misunderstood.
And he's saying, I was not talking about young children. I was talking about older, you know, you were talking about kids at home with their parents.
Yeah, it's a totally non-credible backtracking.
Yeah, it was really gross. And he's saying, hey, I'm against pedophilia. But he has this European mindset, which is perverse to start with, of, I think he even mentioned in his defense that, what is it, in Holland or Norway, age of consent of 14, and that includes for a boy to have sex with an adult man. I mean, it is sick stuff.
It is really sick.
But at any rate, we emailed him. I wrote an email to him. I asked my Monday co-host, Doug McBurney. You can't ask Doug anything. Doug is trouble. But I said, Doug, should I send this to Milo? He said, send it. So I offered him help. I said, Milo, you're in way more trouble than you realize. This is before this whole...
Yeah, this is several weeks ago.
Yeah, this whole catastrophe. And I said, but if you are going to want help, either from one of the elders of Denver Bible Church or myself, you will have to drop your phony homo lisp. You'll have to talk like a man. Because I can't even stand to listen to you. It makes me sick.
Yeah, yep.
So, and Fred, you remember...
And Bob, you've actually brought a lot of homosexuals to the Lord. So it's not like... I know you personally. You were doing this sincerely to help this guy.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll respond at some point.
Who knows?
Especially after what happened now.
Who knows? Maybe he will. I think he's digging in.
Yeah.
He's calling people idiots who misunderstood him.
Yep.
And that would be the Christians. and the conservatives.
Yeah.
He's calling them his message to the idiots. That's how he puts it on his
Facebook
page.
CPAC was going to have him as a speaker.
CPAC. You know what CPAC stands for?
Conservative.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. CPAC stands
for nothing.
For nothing.
I was going to struggle to remember the initials, yeah. But you're exactly right. It stands for nothing.
Conservative political action. Exactly.
Stands
so
for
he
nothing.
Lost his CPAC invite. He got fired from Breitbart. He lost his $250,000 book deal. Mm-hmm. But all of that is good, but he's not yet to the point where he's repentant.
Yeah. Yep.
So, but. You know,
like you said earlier,
there's hope.
The conservatives, the right was championing this guy, mm-hmm. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Disgusting.
Yeah, yep. Right. Exactly. And so if you love your neighbor who's a homosexual, you will warn him about that perversion. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we should do an RSR Lisp show. I don't think so. But we have a list of the issues with homosexuality. That's on our website, rsr.org/homosexuality.
Yeah. And it's destructiveness.
Yeah.
You're loving your neighbor by trying to get them out of that lifestyle.
Oh, absolutely.
We're the ones who are the haters.
Yeah. And we have brought a number of homosexuals to the Lord. And that is just so rewarding. It's been great.
Okay, Bob, I think we just suffered from ADHD. You know, we did that. Hey, look, a squirrel. And we got off on a tangent. So let's try to get back to the RSR List show. Oh, well, wait a minute. Hey, look, a squirrel. I just remembered we've missed talking about the fundraiser. That's really important.
Oh, our annual February telethon. Fred, we're about at $15,000 of our $30,000 goal. That's halfway, and we have about a week left.
About a week in February. Yep.
So, but I'm certainly not panicked. You know, slow and steady wins the race often.
Yeah.
And Lord willing, with God's help and our listeners' help, we'll get there.
Yeah. And for $100, you get a really nice package, right?
Yeah, Walt Brown's book, In the Beginning, hardcover, beautiful
book.
Yep, our
favorite book.
And our Big Bang video.
Yep, the newly released Big Bang video.
Yeah.
It's got great reviews.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it really does. In fact, we just got a second endorsement from within the industry. The first came from a system team lead on the Cassini space mission from NASA, who's former. And now this is a working astrophysicist mm-hmm. from Australia who put an advert for our video
yeah.
on his own personal website. So we'll be listing both of those on the Big Bang store page.
And that's Dr. Hartnett, right?
Yeah, Dr. John Hartnett from Australia.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so we really are back to our list show. And the next one is RSR's list of proofs for the genius of ancient man. Now, that's a really fun one.
I love it because the evolutionary atheistic worldview is that the further back you go, the more like grunting cavemen humans
yeah.
should have been.
Yep.
And we know that all over the world, the evidence is unanimous that the further back you go, the more brilliant they were. We have a collection of knowledge, an accumulation of knowledge in technology. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But we're talking about sheer brilliance. And Fred, we keep updating this list too. Like with the ancients knowing the period of the orbit of Mercury from 4,000 years ago. Like the Babylonians having the Pythagorean theorem 1,000 years before Pythagoras.
Yeah.
Like them using calculus to determine the position of Jupiter. The ancient Babylonians. This stuff is
so
stunning,
yeah.
And it all comes from peer-reviewed science.
Yep. Calculus before calculus was discovered.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, isn't that awesome? And it's not just in math. It is world travel all over the world. There's evidence of world travel, advanced astronomy, including an understanding of the precession of the equinoxes,
yep.
which most people today don't know what that is.
I remember we talked about IQ levels slowly decreasing each generation.
They're decreasing.
Now,
right.
All this makes sense, right? If Adam and Eve had the perfect genome, and then slowly over time, we built up, you know, more mutations, a genetic load.
Yeah.
And so each generation, we're slightly less.
We're not evolving.
You know, we're getting de-evolving.
Better. We're breaking down.
We're breaking down slowly.
They say we don't use so much of our brain. If that's true, then why did it evolve? Evolution is not supposed to give you all this redundancy. Mm-hmm. It's just supposed to be efficient so you could survive. But we had way more intellectual ability when we were created than what we have today. And that's the genius of ancient man.
Yeah, another great list. So now our next list is RSR's list of missing transitional fossils.
Oh, yeah. Fred, in this show, we did what evolutionists say can't be done. We pointed out the incredible lack of transitional fossils. Let me read one quote from one of the nation's leading biology textbooks, College Biology Text. This is Campbell, Reese, Mitchell, and Simon. And here it is from their 2006 textbook, Biology, Concepts, and Connections, page 290. Many evolutionary biologists since Darwin's time, and even Darwin himself, have been struck by how few sequences of fossils have ever been found that clearly show a gradual, steady accumulation of small changes in evolutionary lineages. Instead, we say this all the time to evolutionists, and they always say we're lying.
Yep.
And then they'll say, oh, well, the whale fossils, they really prove the case.
Or when they think they found one, they say that we finally found the missing link.
Yeah,
oh, wait, so now you're admitting all that time you said there were missing links, yeah, but you actually now admit they were missing.
And they call it the missing link every time they find one, which always backfires anyway.
Yep.
Instead, this quote goes on, instead, most fossil species appear suddenly in a layer of rock and persist essentially unchanged through several layers until disappearing from the record.
Yep.
As suddenly as they appear.
Yeah.
That's the quote.
That's the quote.
From like a leading text.
A leading text.
Yeah.
That could be a creation book if you didn't open it up and read all the nonsense inside of it.
Right. Skip the first 289 pages.
So the next one is RSR's list of genomes that just don't fit. And boy, there's a lot of those.
Oh, this is such a fun one because we were told that not only would the fossils tell us the order in which creatures evolved by looking at the fossils, but that their anatomy tells the story too. And then their genes, their genetics would tell the story, and even the sequence of their proteins and all. And it turns out that it all contradicts itself. Right on the top of our list of genomes that just don't fit, we show an elephant shrew.
Yeah.
It's this tiny little rodent. This elephant shrew, if you were to build a Darwin's tree of life based on genetics, the elephant shrew is right next to the elephant. The elephant shrew is closer to the elephant than it is to other shrews.
Wow.
So it's this tiny little rodent with a long snout.
Yep. That truly does not fit.
Right. And that's only one example.
Yeah.
We have, what, dozens of examples.
Oh, yeah.
Of extreme examples of the absolute contradiction of what they thought from the fossils or what they thought from the anatomy or what they thought from the protein sequences. They all create different trees, which means they all contradict one another.
Yep. It's a long, long list of failed predictions.
Yeah. Wow.
So the next one is RSR's list of solar system transient events.
Transients? I thought they were homeless people. But, you know, the media, they love to report on homeless people when Republicans are in the White House.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
So I'd say, you know, Trump took office and they were so apoplectic and he kept them so busy. And so they haven't got around to it. But I'd say when winter 2018 comes around, brace yourself for a homeless headline every other day.
Yeah.
So, Fred, the transient events of the solar system, if indeed this is all 4.5 billion years old, then you would think by now things should have sort of settled out.
Yep.
Well, it turns out that we see transient events, things that are here and then gone, things that should only happen in the rarest of incidents, not things that you would see every single day.
Yeah.
And we see these on Mercury, rapid changes in planetary features. Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. We see these on comets, asteroids, TNOs, even the moons of Jupiter and Saturn, and our own moon has what they call transient lunar phenomenon, which are dramatic. For example, in the crust of the moon. It's supposed to be cold and dead for mm-hmm. billions of years. Unexpected heat, unexpected molten outer core, unexpected volcanism, unexpected radon emissions, mm-hmm. unexpected helium emissions, and actual places where the surface of the moon is changing and all observable.
Yep.
So
it's just like the recent flyby of Pluto, right? Everybody, the secular scientists expected to see a dead looking planet. Mm. In fact, you know, they had artistic drawings of it.
Yeah.
And boy, were they wrong. It's just yet another example.
And then, Fred, you and I are probably going to do, we've talked about it, a list of Earth's changing ancient geological features, because we touched on this when we did the show on the solar system, because the Earth is part of the solar system. But we've now created our own list, which in our own indomitable fashion is the best and most comprehensive list on the entire internet of ancient geological features that have just crashed.
Yeah, that have just crashed. We get to witness it, even though it's been that way for millions of years. We're that lucky generation to get to see these famous rock formations come crashing down, land bridges that were supposedly millions of years old. And boy, if you're standing on that when it crashes, you're just really unlucky.
Yeah, like in one park, Arches National Park, 47 known arches have collapsed in just recent decades. 47.
No. Yep.
How many have formed?
Yeah.
How many
exactly.
have formed? And these that are supposed to be millions of years old, even hundreds of thousands of years old, all around the world. And we have a huge list of these. Again, we started our list from Creation Magazine. David Catchpool did a great article. I think he had 5 or 6 examples. So we have about 20. Maybe 25 examples, plus those 47 arches.
Yep. And an ever-growing list. Yep.
Yeah. And so I believe it's the most comprehensive list on the entire internet. And this shows that these are not all millions of years old, because they're just falling down all around us.
Yep.
That's the transient events of the solar system.
So this next list is rare in that it's actually not growing, but it's an impressive list. Mm. And it's the list of creationist fathers of science. Bob, most of the founders of the physical sciences, they were Bible-believing creationists.
Oh, it's so exciting.
It's a huge list.
And we've done this fun list. And these are, you know, the fathers of the physical sciences, like the fathers of chemical medicine and the scientific revolution and scientific method and physical astronomy and gravity and all this stuff. It's unbelievable how strong they were in their belief that God created the earth. And the vast majority of them are young earth creationists, mm-hmm. or they subscribe to a literal biblical worldview.
That's right. Sir Isaac Newton, he's no slouch, you know? He's probably the most famous scientist of all time.
Yeah. But they'll say, the atheists will say, well, that was before Darwin.
Oh, yeah.
But okay, so after Darwin, we've got George W. Carver, father of modern agriculture, Joseph Lister, father of modern surgery, Lord Kelvin, thermodynamics, mm-hmm. James Joule, thermodynamics, Louis Pasteur, microbiology, James Clerk Maxwell, electromagnetic radiation, Matthew Maury, oceanography, and Michael Faraday, electromagnetism.
Yeah.
And Fred, we didn't just copy this list out of some creation article, which would have been fine, but we did the research ourselves. Of course, we heard names and pointed and started mm-hmm. somehow.
Yeah.
But we have looked up all these guys and their original writings, and we've modified the list over time. And the page itself, the list of creationist fathers of science, the page is a gold mine.
No, absolutely.
Of the astounding things that these creationist scientists have said, and the quote mining of the atheist and the evolutionist who deny this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
They're the quote miners.
Yep, they are. They're the quote miners. And you know, Bob, we really came out of the dark ages from a Christianized worldview in Europe, right? Mm. I mean, these guys were Bible-believing Christians.
Yeah, a lot of them, you know, they might differ in theology than mm-hmm. today, like me as a fundamentalist evangelical Christian. But Christianized Europe was the birthplace of modern science. And there are many secular historians of science who agree with that and refute the cliched, hackneyed claim that the church was the enemy of scientific advance. In fact, it was the opposite.
Yeah, absolutely the opposite.
Yeah.
So, Bob, this last one, last but not least, the list of whale evolution problems.
Oh, wow. This one is so great, Fred, because I went over this again today to prepare for today's show. And it starts out with Richard Dawkins and everyone and his brother saying that the whale evolution sequence is the best fossil evidence, among the best, the most supreme example we have.
Yeah.
And we document all that. You can see museums all around the world, people, professors, paleontologists. And then we go through the list that I pasted in a comment on our YouTube channel just today. And Fred, it is hysterical how the entire claim has collapsed.
Oh, yeah. It really has.
After 10,000 paleontologists were looking for whale transitional fossils for 150 years, didn't come up with anything.
Yep.
Two guys. Two guys. A professor at Michigan State, Philip Gingrich, and his student, Hans Thuesen. They found them all. They found everything. They found Ambulocetus, Rhodocetus, Pachycetus, Cynonyx, and others that are harder to pronounce.
And what's the URL for this page?
This is rsr.org/whales.
/whales. So easy to go to. There's videos that you've put on there that are just fantastic.
Oh,
that are interviews with this one guy, that you know, the chief discoverer.
Well, right. Philip
contradicting
Gingrich
himself.
And Hans Thuesen, both chief discoverers of these different whale intermediaries. And because of these interviews that are done by our friend, Dr. Carl Werner, in his beautiful videos, Evolution, Living Fossils. We sell both of his videos.
Yep, fantastic videos.
These have forced the evolution community, including now some museums, to begin to change their exhibits, because what they would do is they'd find partial fossils and they would say, well, this is a new species. And so we're going to give them flippers.
Yeah.
And you say, well, where is the evidence of the flippers? Well, it's not there, but he had a fluked tail. A fluked tail?
Yeah.
Where's the evidence for that? Well, that part of the skeleton is missing, but he had a fluked tail. And, you know, of course, he would have had a blowhole and all this. And then they find more organisms of the species.
Yeah.
And they find out he had four legs like a quadruped.
Yep.
And he didn't have flippers.
No whale
and
features.
He didn't have a fluked tail. And, well, he didn't have a blowhole. And so it is absolute fraud what they have accomplished.
Yes, and it is.
It exposes the gullibility of the true believers in evolution who will believe the flimmest of evidence. In fact, it's not even evidence. Their favorite fossil is the incomplete fossil, because then they could imagine how it all worked.
The flimmest evidence from a couple of flim-flam men.
Yeah. Yeah, Dr. Gingrich.
Really?
I wish we could produce a YouTube video of him, just like 90 seconds long, and he's walking down the street, and a lady's walking by with her little doggy, and he says, get that whale away from me. There, you know, a bird flies by in a picnic, and he's like, get that whale out of here. Everything he sees is a whale.
Everything's a whale to him.
Yeah, yep. I mean, and that's pretty close to reality, and it makes you famous. The most famous evolutionist is the one who could say the greatest absurdity with the straightest face.
Yeah, that's a good quote. That's Bob Inyart, right?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's always been a really good quote.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's sad. Sad, but true.
Yeah, and so we have Richard Dawkins' little video of him saying, this series of whale evolution, this really nails it.
Yeah.
I mean, they say, where's the evidence? Here's the evidence. And he's pointing to frauds.
And it's totally debunked.
One fraud after another.
And it's this is a great resource. In fact, Carl Werner was pretty impressed with this resource.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, he helped create the list. It's based on his own research. But then, yeah, he emailed, we mentioned, I think, last week, that he emailed and said, Bob, just last week before we did our show, he said, I was on your list of whale evolution problems page. He said, it's stunning. It's an astounding page, and the evidence goes on and on. It never stops of how it's all a fraud.
Yep.
What a great, great effort, thanks to him. And then we get to assemble it and take credit for his work.
Yeah.
Well, and he knows how much we love him and appreciate him. And we sell his materials.
Yeah. Yep.
So, all right, Fred, that's it. That's Real Science Radio's list of list shows.
And this list will get longer next time we do this.
I think it will get longer. It's going to be fun.
It was a lot of fun, Bob. Thanks.
God bless you. So this is Bob Benyart for Fred Williams and Real Science Radio. May God bless you.
In